Well, good afternoon, everybody, and happy Sabbath. I'd like to start this sermonette with a story that has a purpose. It actually ties into the topic I'll be speaking on. But the story relates to my son, Nathan, and an experience we had. Recently, we were on a family trip, and on this family trip, we stayed at a hotel where there was a pool. And my family loves to swim, Nathan included. He just loves to get out there and swim, and he goes out and he's got a round tube that he puts on, and he'll go anywhere in the pool, and he just enjoys the water. Doesn't enjoy it getting in his face, but he enjoys the water. Well, as we were in this pool, I'm swimming around, I looked up at one point in time, and Nathan had gotten out of the pool and walked along the side of the pool. And so I swam over to the side of the pool, and I said, "Nathan, would you like to jump into the pool, and I'll catch you?" He got all excited. He's like, yeah, I'd love to do that. So he came up to the edge, and I put my arms up just waiting for him. I encouraged him, "Okay, Nathan, go ahead. I'm ready for you." And he stood there, and he thought, and he stood there, and he thought, and I kept encouraging, "Okay, Nathan, you know, I'm ready." And the longer he stood there, you started to see a change in his attitude, and he actually started to draw back from the edge a little bit. And I said to Nathan, I said, "What's wrong? You know, why don't you want to jump in anymore?" And he goes, "Well, I don't want to get water in my face, and I'm afraid that I'll go underwater." And I said, "Okay, well, I promise you I'll catch you, and you don't have to be afraid of that, and I'll make sure you don't get water in your face." He still kind of drew back, and he was waiting there. I tried to encourage him a little bit more, and I said, "Nathan, do you believe I'll catch you?" He said, "Yeah, I believe you'll catch me." I said, "Okay, well, I'm waiting," and he still wouldn't approach. So I said, "Okay, Nathan, that's okay. I'm a little bit disappointed." I had to tell him this. I said, "I'm a little disappointed that you don't trust me, but that's all right." And I turned back to just swim a little bit and with my wife and everybody. And not 30 seconds to a minute later, Nathan calls out and goes, "Dad, I'll do it. I want to do it." I said, "All right, great." So I went back over to the pool, put my arms up. He said, "Get closer." So I'm right there. I mean, I can practically grab him. And he stood and he hesitated for a second, but then he finally did it. And after he did that one time, he was so excited. Over and over, he was asking me to do it again. He was asking mom to catch him, sisters to catch him, everybody. I mean, he just enjoyed it, thoroughly enjoyed it. But he had to get past that one point of jumping. And that ties into what I'd like to talk to you about today, and that is trust. He had to get to that point of trust. If we turn to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, this is one set of scriptures I really love. We can read a little bit about trust in relation to God. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." So first of all, what is trust? Trust is a choice. We actually make a choice. We choose to trust or not to trust. It's actually a choice we make. Now, for people, a lot of times we have qualifications for who we trust, right? We might say, are my best intentions, are they in it for my best intentions? Am I going to trust them for that? You know, do we believe they intend to do what they say they're going to do? Do we believe the person is able and qualified to do what they say they can do? You know, these are kind of some of the questions we ask ourselves when it comes into a trusting relationship with a person. We can also ask those questions of God. Do we believe that God has our best interests in mind? Do we believe God intends to do what he says he's going to do? And do we believe that God is able to do what he says he's going to do? I think all of us being here today shows that we believe that. And that's a good thing. But there's more to it. Trust is something that springs from belief. Generally, you have a belief in something before you have a trust in it. And we need to get to that point of trusting in God. A definition in the dictionary of trust is firm reliance on the integrity, ability, or character of a person or a thing. So that's a definition you'll find in the dictionary. Now, along with this topic, a couple months ago, I did a teen study. And one of the teens made a comment that was really interesting. They said, "Trust is an action." You know, trust is more than just a belief. It's actually an action. You actually have to act upon your trust. So belief and trust are different. Nathan believed that I would catch him. But he had to come to the point of trusting and acting upon that trust to jump and to know that I would catch him, and for me to know that he trusted me. I want my son to trust me, and I know God wants us to trust him. So what are some of the stumbling blocks that can keep us from trusting God or building that trust in God? Well, again, back in Proverbs 3:5, it says, lean not on your own understanding. See, Nathan, when he stood there the first time, he understood that water was deep. It was deeper than he was tall. He understood that he couldn't swim. And as he looked at that and he knew he didn't have his tube on, that understanding started to create a fear in him. And that fear is what pulled him back from that edge. But he was leaning on his own understanding when he pulled back from the edge. Only when he pushed aside his own understanding and trusted me completely was he able to jump in. He had to push all his own understanding aside and knowing that, you know, I can't do this on my own. He had to trust completely on me, and he did it. But again, leaning on your own understanding can create another issue that is really strong in a stumbling block towards fear or towards trust in God, and that's fear. Fear is a huge stumbling block in our trust to God. Sometimes we fear we're not worthy. Sometimes we fear God's angry at us. Maybe we fear that a sin that we have done or in the past or are struggling with will separate us from God, so God really can't have a relationship with us. I mean, we have all these fears that can go in there. And one of it is fear of not knowing what's going to happen. That's another fear that drives us away from trust. You know, we don't have all the answers when it comes to God. We have to trust. So all those fears that I just mentioned, they come from somewhere else. They don't come from God. Because if we look in 2 Timothy 1:7, turn over to there, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, that's God's spirit that works in us. And that's what we need to trust in. So how do we build trust in God? Get to know God. Spend time studying his word and talking with him. I mean, it's no different than any other relationship you're in the aspect of trust. When you spend more time and you get to know the character of a person or an individual, you build that trusting relationship. It's the same with God. We need to spend time studying his word, praying, talking to him, and building a relationship with him. And also in Proverbs 3:6, there's another aspect of this. It says, acknowledge God. You know, acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path. Acknowledge God. Take time to acknowledge what he's done in your life, what he's doing in your life. Look for God in your life and his hand in your life. That is incredibly important in building trust. So how many times as parents have we told our children, or even as children, have we heard, you know, if I can trust you in the little things, I'll be able to trust you in the big things. You know, it's a building block. Well, let's apply that to God. Can we trust him in the little things? I mean, he gives us air to breathe every day. We get the sun that comes up and goes down. The food grows. Our life is sustained by God being trustworthy on the little things. So how about the bigger things? How about our heart? How about our emotions? How about our feelings? How about our desires? Trust with all your heart. You know, the heart is desires, emotions, feelings. We need to put those in God's hands too and trust in him and rely on him. I thought it was really nice, the opening song that Frank chose was, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. I mean, that just, again, it reinforces all that God has done and is trustworthy in. Trust can also be assumed by the conviction of others. When we share what God is doing in our lives, we can help build trust in one another. You know, when I hear stories from people about how God has intervened in their lives or is working in their lives, that builds my trust in God. You know, I see God working in somebody's life and I go, you know what? God can do that for me. I trust God. God is working with somebody here. But again, that goes back to we have to acknowledge God. We have to share those stories. We have to talk to one another. We have to build the trust in God with one another. If you want a great example of trust, just read through the Psalms and look at David and recognize how many times he uses the word trust in relation to God. I mean, it's a great study if you want to do a word study on trust. Again, one point I really want to make clear is belief is great, and we have that, and we're here today because of it. But we need to take that belief and go into a deeper aspect in a relationship with God, and that's a relationship of trust. So in closing, I'd actually like to share with you one more story. This was something we did in a team study about 2 months ago. We actually talked about this subject of trust, and be glad you're not in a team study, because this was kind of a fun one. But what I had the kids do is we actually cleared out the room, and we blindfolded one person, well, you know, who volunteered. We blindfolded them, and I asked them to spin themselves around several times, and everybody else stayed out of the way and stayed quiet. And then I told them at some point, stop and count to 10. And when you get to 10, fall backwards. Now the rest of us, while they were spinning around, waited. And when they stopped, people would quietly as possible, get in position behind them to catch them. But can you imagine doing that? They actually made me do it, so I can't imagine it. You know, if you ask it of them, they're going to ask it of you. So. But just put yourself in that position. They counted to 10 and waited. And then they had to just cross their arms and just lean back. Straight leg, just fall backwards and trust that people would catch them. So after we did this, and several people volunteered, some did, some didn't. You know, we had some that weren't up to it, and that's okay. But after we did that, we sat down, we talked about it. And after that exercise, I asked them what they learned about trust through that exercise. And I'd like to close with three comments that they made, because I thought they were pretty profound. And when we think about them in relationship to our relationship to God, you can put that in there too when you hear these comments. It's pretty amazing. A lot of insight our teens have, I'll tell you that. So I'll go through all three of them. One, trust is an action or takes action. It's one of the things they thought of, is trust is an action or takes action. Second one, you do not know how far you will fall before someone catches you. Apply that to God. You do not know how far you will fall before someone catches you. And the third one, which is one that I really liked, was the hardest part was making the decision. After that, it was easy. Making that decision to trust. The hardest part was making the decision. After that, it was easy.